And well, thank you, Ken.
Just give me a heads up when you want a slide advanced.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you. Morning, everyone. Sorry I couldn't get there yesterday. I started and then it turned around and the weather got a little rough up there. So I hope everybody has had a good convention, and I hope everybody has a safe trip home. Sounds like I'm going to be following a hard act, but we're going to talk a little bit about preconditioning, a little bit about the history and where it's at today, where it's going, and kind of interject what we kind of do in our operation. Preconditioning's been around since the 1960s, and it was developed to try to produce a safe, wholesome animal and reduce the BRD episodes from to the feeding and the packing. And also we wanted to reduce the stress. Preconditioning is defined by what the academic would say is we want the calves weaned for 3 weeks, bunk broke, and some kind of a comprehensive health program. And so it's pretty simple, but we don't do a lot of that. You wonder what happened back in the 60s and 70s to get this going. There were some calves that were getting weaned, and it used to be a tremendous challenge getting these calves weaned and on feed. But a lot of these calves back in the 60s and 70s were weaned at the ranch or the farm and then ran over as a yearling. And nobody really tracked a lot of things like health and costs. And for those cattle never left the farm or ranch, they weren't challenged as much. So for this talk today, we're going to talk a little bit about what we've seen since the 80s. I'm going to call that the past. That's kind of when I got my start. And we'll talk about fresh weaned calves because a lot of these calves coming off the operation going direct into a feedlot or backgrounding program. And I think that's where we want to start on this topic as far as past. So I'm going to have you advance the slide to past a little bit. And on that first slide, it says preconditioning is a term that's been used loosely. And we hear that a lot. Yeah, the calves were weaned, been weaned for 45 days. Well, that might be the first set of calves weaned for 45 days. The next calves weaned for 10 days. And we need the last set of calves weaned for 45 days, if we want to call it true preconditioning and weaned. A little bit about the past. I got my start at Dar Feedlot in 1983. We're a small commercial feedlot that was trying to get our legs under us. And so a little history there. We didn't have a big clientele. So we went out and we were a small operation. We wanted to, our growth potential we thought was calves. Calves were a hot topic. And a lot of calves were being weaned and put on feed at the time. And that was part of the changes in the industry a little bit. We hadn't seen a lot of that in the 60s and 70s, but there was a great need. But we aren't a lot farther today than we were back then as far as people wanting to handle calves. As a feedlot manager, I need calves that will perform. And the best way to do this was break down a little bit of that communication. You know, the old days, cattle had a couple of shots, usually a seven-way, and maybe they had a little bit of nutrition, but not a lot. And when I go to nutrition, I'm looking at protein, trace, mineral imbalances, what we saw in the 80s. We had issues with customers. We went out and developed relationships with ranchers. Actually, I just brought in cattle yesterday and today of a set of calves that we've had now for 31 years. And I might talk about a little bit what we've seen over the time, but it's a relationship building that started to clear back there and really created a drive and a system to make these things happen today. What we saw on a nutritional level back then is we saw a lot of issues, particularly in the region that this symposium has been held. Not every neighbors like each other. Some graze high, some graze low, some have bottom, some have feed, some of these calves never are open range their entire life. So we've seen a lot of issues out there on trace minerals. So we discovered that we had a lot of trace mineral imbalances, and thus we were getting people to use vaccinations fairly heavily in the 80s, but weren't getting a lot of response, still had a lot of sickness. As we pulled blood on cows and stuff, we discovered that we had a lot of trace mineral imbalance. We had a lot of iron tying up copper, and all of a sudden the vaccine wasn't working. We had a lot of failures. So death loss was still very heavy, and communication was not real great, because once the calves left the ranch, it was somebody else's issue. But over the years, we went back and worked with a lot of our folks, and we have continued to improve. We've seen death loss decrease from, say, 2-3% down to less than 0.5% on a lot of these calves. We've seen a lot of this is through genetics and just improvement on the cow management side. We've seen calves go from getting 2.8 to pushing 3.8 today. Conversions are down to under 6 pretty handily. And we can find that these calves are just we classify a lot of calves at our facility. I'm going to have you move to present, I guess, right now. I don't want to hang on to the past too much, because present or past went into present. And in our operation, we have a lot of communication with our producers, both guys that retain ownership and also people that sell calves. We classify them as cattle that we never let get by our hands. We always want those cattle, then cattle that are okay but need improvement, and then cattle we don't want back. And our facility, we will track those cattle from the day they come in. And we know where they come, whether they're being bought in the video, bought in the country, or bought through the sale barn. We're identifying those calves upon arrival. We track them back, and we can track back history on health and performance and carcass merit and things of that nature. But the most key thing that I have to have anymore is a healthy calf to get started, to give that calf a chance to perform. Because when calves are sick, you'll see a reduction of 50 to 80 pounds if they're treated once versus a lot of cattle. And if they're treated 2 and 3 times, a lot of times those cattle won't make the finishing pen, and then we're sold off as what we consider a realizer, which is a poor performer, or if they do finish out with the pen, they'll be 250 to 300 pounds behind, and those cattle have no chance of making any money. And I guess the one thing with communication on this present, when I look at the present slide here, communication is really good in our operation, but it's not real great amongst the industry. One thing that really drives me nuts is when they say cattle have had all their shots, but we don't have any documentation. We don't have any affidavits. We don't know what they had, when they had it. A little bit of history on the cattle. I don't mind if I understand everybody's operations are different, and there's a lot of challenges out there, but I need to know those things so we can better prepare to handle cattle when they come in. If it was a tough spring at calving, or it was a little bit of a drought, we need to know if there was any issues on those calves all the way through, because that can let us manage those calves to a little better end point. So we see a little with the vaccine thing. We've done really well on the vaccine, but we haven't that's probably the strong point. Again, the affidavits has been weak, and we're watching and starting to see a lot more people talk to us about managing the cow a little better with trace minerals and protein and body condition score. And this is a must, what we think, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in the future. And I guess that blends right into my next point, which is cow management. And in my opinion, preconditioning is a byproduct of good cow management. And what I mean by that, if we manage that cow right, the benefit is you're going to have a healthier calf than somebody wants. And but I really think a lot of our preconditioning is set on that calf when it's in vitro. those cattle, those cows that have good body condition score, good trace mineral programs, and that's going to vary from region to region because everybody's operation is different and their capabilities are different. There may be times they can use mineral programs and maybe not. Supplementation as far as protein sources has become a big issue because if we don't manage those cows, what we've seen, and I also run three cow herds on the side, and I run a lot of data back through those cows. What we see there in my own herd and my customers' herds, we see a faster breed back, and we see a better breed up in the first cycle. We have less calving problems. We have better colostrum for those newborn calves. And consequently, all those things that we're doing way ahead of when we're going to be weaning them and giving them the shots, I guess what I'm really saying is preconditioning to me is not shots. It's whole herd management. And that gives us a really good we have to give the shots, but we have to manage that cow all the way through. But again, we can trace these calves when we get some people say, well, how can you trace them through a sale barn? Well, if we get a set of calves from the sale barn, we record the brands on those cattle and who the owners are, and we tag that particular lot to that day's arrival. And we can sure do that when we buy them in the country or off the video. And then if we have any issues with those calves, we can trace it right back to the owner of those calves and try to get in touch with those folks. The biggest problem I have is when somebody says, well, they're fine at home, and you guys must have screwed them up. But we still wean about 20,000 head of calves a year. And the one key thing that I think that I want to push, and it's not on any of these slides, but it's the old beef quality assurance program. And I think that's real key that people have to look at that beef quality assurance program and get involved in that, because that covers about everything we're talking about. That it really truthfully is good management on the ranch. We believe in it, and every employee that we have is certified and trained. The program was created in 87. It keeps evolving, and we live by it and focus on it, and so do our customers. If those that aren't familiar with BQA, involves the vaccinations, locations and vaccinations, feed handling, record handling, cattle handling. I'd like to say, I think we're going to be seeing more and more of that as we move on. But we know which calves perform and we know which ones don't. As we have you move to the next slide, which goes to the future. And I want to talk a little bit about that transparency. And one thing I jotted down, I said, you know, independence is a cattleman's greatest asset, and once in a while it's our greatest challenge. That'd be a takeaway. We have to learn to start communicating and breaking down and know that we are not only a beef producer instead of a cow-calf or a feedlot segment or even a seed stock, but we are a food producer, and that's never been more important than right now, because the pushback we're getting from consumers, they want to know where their food comes from, they want to know how it's produced, and we're all part of this chain that has to keep moving this newborn calf to the weaning, to the stocker operator, to the feedlot. We all have our part in here, but we all have to do our job. And some of the greatest, if we look back to the 2011 beef quality audit, we have made huge strides in management of these cattle as far as uniformity, less carcass blemishes, less injection sites. So we're doing a lot of good things on the vaccine, but we're not, we're still overusing vaccines because we don't have a good history from one segment to the other what they've had. So we're kind of covering our butt and revaccinating and covering, and we need to have a better open communication so that we're not duplicating and using too much too much shotgun approach as far as covering our bases instead of managing the cattle from start to finish. As we move into this transparency, we got to have the honesty between the producers, because we have to, when there is an issue with the beef industry, we have to be able to trace it back and go back we have a leg to stand on if we're challenged by a consumer or an activist group. So I think transparency and working hand in hand, we got too much cost in these cattle anymore to be duplicating we've had a lot of duplication that's not very necessary in today's environment. I do think we'll get a lot of pushback. We already are. It's harder to get these drugs approved. As far as antibiotics, use of antibiotics has been a big hot topic, and I think we're going to have to produce cattle on a more holistic approach. I think we won't be able to. We're going to need to use more nutrition and less drugs, and we're starting to see more and more. You know, we buy about 100,000. We feed 100,000 cattle, and we can find that many good ones out there. And right now the market's really good, but you still see a $10 to $20 per hundred difference in cattle. And I think the reason is the guys that are managing their cows and managing the program and telling that story and passing it on have a lot of interest out there by feedlot producers and second owners who own those cattle to move that product on. The people that are just kind of getting by are taking the brunt of that. Now, I know the market's awful good, but when you look at $10 or $20 on a right now it's about $20 from the high to the low on a 5-weight animal. That's a $100 bill. If you get 100 cows, there's $10,000 on a bite that you could have had. So it's not about low costs all the time. It's about optimizing your cost and balancing. You know, sometimes we get so bent on not spending the money. There's places to spend the money wisely to benefit weight and health and overall conception and management of that cow herd that needs to be used so that you're not spending money later taking care of problems that shouldn't have ever happened in the first place, because it's a lot cheaper to prevent than it is to treat. And that's one thing that we have to keep in mind. That's very important. It's a lot less. It's better to spend the money up front and prevent than it is to spend the money and treat, whatever issue that may be. A lot of implementations of new technologies. We're seeing people are using different methods of handling. Low stress handling is probably something we've somewhat accomplished. Part of that, we've seen the grading increase out there, and a lot of that grading increase, we don't see near the issue with hyper cattle that we used to see. We see better people handling things with facilities. Facilities are an issue. I think one thing that doesn't get enough play and isn't watched over enough is transportation of cattle from whatever location, whether that be shipping them to the sale barn or shipping them to me. I think that we have a lot of things that we can improve on transportation right now. Making sure those trucks are clean and the driver's not tired, he's not pulling off. We do trace back when trucks leave and when trucks get here, and if there's any issue, that's all notated, because there's nothing more frustrating than you guys doing your job and me as a feedlot doing mine and turning around and having a bad trucking job that puts those cattle in jeopardy. So, but as far as less stress, when you're working those cattle, make sure number one, protect your vaccines from sunlight so that we're not wasting our vaccine, but also learning how to handle cattle on foot and having good facilities to handle those cattle is real key, because we see some cattle that are not handled right, and those cattle are definitely more under stress when they get there and hard to start. We do, and we're seeing it as an industry, and we do it also feedlot procurement side to performance, and health is big on performance. So, you know, we can have gain 4 pounds a day, but if we lose 5%, it didn't make the same money. So health is number one, then gain is number two, carcass is number three. And we sometimes chase the carcass and say, boy, I spent a lot of money to have these carcass cattle, but I think that moves right into back to the preconditioning starts at pre-calving, managing that life cycle of the cow. As we've seen people really dive in and do a better job managing those cows, they've got a lot less fallout, a lot tighter breed up, and just a lot better calves. And then they're given the shots on time in the spring. We give a lot of our producers given shots in spring, and because we do see we've traced back a lot of pneumonia problems and issues in the summer on calves that haven't been vaccinated in the spring. And then that, in my opinion, is more important than the calves getting the shots in the fall. But I still want people giving the shots in the fall as a follow-up, because we won't have enough immunity once that calf leaves that cow. We need that stretch. But I think it's very important to vaccinate those cows at branding, and we'll see a lot less health problems in the future. Now, I'm not saying calves won't get sick, but I can tell you right now, on cattle that we know, and for whatever circumstance, whether it be 60 degrees on Monday and 60 below on Wednesday, you know, these cattle have to live under some stress like that. But when they do get sick, the cattle that are managed on basically managed well throughout that cow's life cycle, that calf will respond, and we can give it one shot and away we go. So that's really a benefit for us. We just got to have more communication from gate to plate. There's fewer of us all the time. There's going to be fewer of us. There's going to be more pressure pushed down from above, and I'm talking about whether it be government entities or consumer advocates. I want to go back to that BQA. That BQA, I think, is going to be instrumental in the future, because a lot of these people, that is a story that we can tell, that this is a beef quality assurance facility. This is how we handle things. We bring in speakers once every 2 months for our entire team to listen about new products, new handling, all the things above, new technologies, how we can do more with less, but spend the money wisely when we need to spend the money. So those are some of the things that I do think we're starting to see some technology in the DNA markers. I think that'll be huge today. There's not a very good test to figure out how we're going to find that disease resistance out there, but I think it'll be a matter of time, and I think that'll come along as well. So I'm going to have you page down one more in our conclusion here. We're all in this together. Change is ongoing, and if you don't like change, I'm afraid we're in the wrong business, because it's going to continue to change. And I think consumers will drive that change. I mean, we're getting a lot of pressure from the retailer to the packer to the feedlot, and it won't be real long that pressure is going to come back to the cow-calf segment. We're already starting to see some of that in some of these other agencies that have pushed down on us. But I think the bottom line, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So I'm not asking you to go out and change everything today, but I do think we have to keep working in that direction. And I do think, again, that preconditioning is a byproduct of good cow herd management, and that helps us move that gate-to-plate theory, produce that wholesome product. You know, beef is number one protein, and people like the taste, and it's not a cheap product, so we have to provide a good, wholesome product. And every time we have to doctor it or it goes under stress, we jeopardize the integrity of that product. So with that, I'm going to open it up for questions, I think, Ken.
Great. Thank you.